the expectation of receiving something from God. How many knows that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think? My, my, my. Join with me and let's give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see you fine folk. It's good to know that we've got some visitors from South Carolina. Well, they're not really visitors. They're family who just happened to move out of Georgia. But we're glad to have them with us, the Smith family, today. And there's going to be a baby dedication. And we had a text message for a request for me to sing this morning. So we're going to try to fill that request this morning before we proceed with the baby dedication. Let's do it in E flat. Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry. Don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten. I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If my feeble hands of flesh can only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if you slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be alright soon as I touch Calvary. Very soon now I'll reach the hill Golgotha. I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. If my feeble hands of flesh could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if you slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. Thankful for Calvary. Had it not been for a place called Calvary, had it not been for that old rugged cross and a man called Jesus, amen, where would we be today? Amen. So good to have with us this morning a young man by the name of Carter Blake Hall. So we're going to ask the Hall family and the Smith family, if they want to come up on the first pew this morning, you might want to take some photos of little Carter as he's being dedicated to the service of the Lord. First of all, we appreciate the family and the desire that they have to raise this child in the fear and admonition of God. I certainly encourage that, especially in the day and hour that we're living in today. Families need devotion. Families need God in the center of their life, especially when they're raising young children. Church, join with me and let's give this family a hand this morning. Amen. Praise God. The Bible encourages us to dedicate our children before the Lord. In fact, we have examples of that in the Bible. The Bible says that Hannah bare a son and called his name Samuel. And she brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli. And she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Therefore I have granted him to the Lord as long as he liveth." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of these words fall to the ground. In the New Testament, we read concerning the infant Christ, that when 8 days were fulfilled, they called his name Jesus. And they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now let thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And his father and his mother were marveling at these things which were spoken concerning him. The Bible says the child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Proverbs 22:6 encourages us, in fact, instructs us to train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Lord said unto I know Abraham that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So the parents of Carter, would you come forward this morning and bring little Carter here? My, what's the dandy-looking little feller that is? All wide-eyed and ready to go, isn't he? Certainly this is a happy and significant occasion which brings us together. Just like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your child to the temple today, or to the church today, to present him to the Lord. You have heard the invitation of the Master to suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. It is fitting that you should bring your child while the spell of his advent is still upon you. The mystery and wonder of this new life have brought you to stand reverently and thoughtfully before the Father of all life, and have given you a new and compelling message of dignity of life and the obligation of parenthood. Now today, this purpose of this service is to help you as parents to appreciate your obligation to train in your children or your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when he shall come to the age of responsibility, he will most naturally turn from the wrong into the right and accept Jesus Christ as his Savior and Master. I believe with all of my heart that God has a purpose for Carter's life. To find that purpose and to live it out fully will mean success. To refuse or ignore it will mean failure, no matter how much worldly acclaim may come to his life. Parents, it is your privilege and duty to guide your child in such a way as to make the will of God the greatest ambition of his life. To this task, you are called to consecrate yourselves today. To this end, you dedicate your child to God in accordance with the purpose for which you have come. Will you respond to the following covenant? Parents, do you now present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct him in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer and to guide him in the development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability so to shape the home life of your child, both by family devotions and by your words, and certainly by your example, that he will at the proper age most naturally come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship of the service of the church? Insomuch as you have promised before God and these people to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of rearing him for God, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom, patience, and devotion. And to this end, may the blessing of God rest upon you. This time, we'll ask a little Carter if I can hold it. We'll pray a prayer of dedication. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, the as we hold this precious little bundle of joy, this life that you've given to this family. Father, we do so today, God, in solemn dedication. God, that he will be raised the way that you would have him to be raised. Father, I pray your will upon his life, even though he's very young now. God, I pray that your Spirit will lead him and guide him, God, into an open profession of Christ when he reaches that age. God, that you will be real in his life, and that you will bless his children, God, and bless his mother and father, God. Give them the patience, the love, God, and the responsibility to raise this child in the fear and admonition of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now dedicate him to your service. Amen.
Praise God. Out of all the duties and obligations of a pastor, that's up there right close to the very top. And we certainly encourage our families to dedicate their children before God. Amen. Give the family one more hand as they're seated. Amen. Know that this is just more than a ceremony. Amen. This is an obligation that fulfills a lifetime. Amen. It's one thing to birth a child. It's something very different to rear a child. Amen. We know that it is a constant responsibility. And as I mentioned earlier, especially in the day and hour that we're living in, there's a lot of things out there that infiltrates the lives of families today that we really need to be careful for. Amen. And make sure that we stay in the Word of God. So good to have you with us this morning. We appreciate all the kind words that have been spoken. We thank you for the gift. Man, that's amazing. And thank you for not scheduling that during deer season. So that's great. Man, we can still maybe slip off from the house every once in a while. But we're very thankful, very humbled by the love and the devotion of this congregation. If you have your Bibles this morning for just a little while, I'd like to go to the book of 1 John. Attempt to bring something to you this morning that God has laid upon my heart very dearly this week. God has spoken to me through His Spirit. People say, how does God speak to you? In a number of ways. It never ceases to amaze me how God chooses to speak to us. Sometimes it's through the lyrics of a song. Sometimes it's on the words of a church marquee. Sometimes it's just during our devotion and the word seems to jump off the pages and into our heart. But God will speak to you. So many times we're just too busy to listen. We're too preoccupied. But God still speaks to his people today. And I pray today that he will give me the deliverance to share with you what he has laid upon my heart. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. In the fourth chapter of the book of 1 John, I want to begin with verse number 14. Again, from the fourth chapter of the book of 1 John, beginning with verse number 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for this group of people that have gathered here today. Father, and I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay, God, to speak to our hearts today, that you would have us to hear. Father, open up that wonderful heaven window, Lord, and feed us that manna, God, that we need this morning to strengthen us. Lord, I pray, God, that you would lead and guide and direct us. God, see to every need that is in this congregation this morning, God, and we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. He certainly deserving of all of our praise. This morning, as I said, as God has been dealing with me this particular week in this area, I pray that God will give me the deliverance to bring this subject or this matter to us this morning. If I had a message title, it would be When Fear Attacks. When Fear Attacks. Attack is a strong word. Attack means to assault or assail with force. But yet, as I began to prepare and read the scriptures that God laid upon my heart, I began to realize that fear can attack us. It does not only attack the unsaved, but fear oftentimes attacks those who have been living for God for a number of years, those who are dedicated, and those who are born again. There is a difference in fear and fright. Fright is sometimes a temporary experience, and as soon you get over that. But fear is ongoing. Fear is constantly nagging. Fear is constantly overwhelming us and pulling us down. In fact, it is a very formidable weapon that Satan uses with regularity in the world today. There are many, many types of fears. There's phobias. In fact, if you begin to look them up, there's phobias almost for everything that you can imagine. But here the Bible talks about the fear of judgment. The fear of not making it. The fear of not being good enough. The fear of not being fully complete and mature in the Lord. And how many knows that Satan would love to keep you down and love to keep you, on the defense, so to speak. But you know, here's the thing about it, and we might often ask our question, well, are we good enough for the judgment of God? And I'll answer that very quickly. No, we're not. We are not good enough, but that which is within us, amen, is righteous. How many is thankful for that? If we were good enough, God would never have to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. But because of the failure of man, because of the inability of man to obey the Word and to obey God's fullest testament, amen, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf so that we would be able, amen, to enter into that glorious kingdom that the Lord has prepared. I want us to understand this morning that fear is something that the devil uses constantly. And fear can be agonizing. It can be tormenting. It can be something that causes us not to reach our full capability of serving the Lord or in a ministry or whatever the case may be. But I'm here to tell you that there is something that's greater than the fear that Satan brings upon us. I've talked to so many people in my ministry and in my time of pastoring. I've seen fear in their eyes. I've seen it completely overwhelm folks, and it's a compelling fear. It's a fear of so many different things. It's a fear of failure. It's a fear that I could never ever walk this life or be a Christian. I've often had people to tell me, Pastor said, when I get my life straight, then I'm going to get in church. And I'm quick to tell them, you'll never be able to get your life straight, amen, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many things you put on your to-do list, or you try to encourage yourself not to fall by the wayside or not to mess yourself up in different situations, you'll never be able to do that without the Spirit of the Lord that, amen, is able to bring us out of that bondage. And fear is bondage. It's a type of bondage that keeps us down. And I begin to think about that. We have something to combat the spirit of fear. And I believe with all of my heart that even in today, the hour that we're living in, when there's so many things, there's books upon books upon books to tell you how that you can conquer your phobias and how you can conquer your fear. And I began to kind of look at some of these things, and some of it is pretty good suggestions or pretty good advice, but only a very few of them actually compels us to turn to God. And I believe with all of my heart, you'll never be able to be released from that fear until you fully devote your life and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have nothing else to fight that battle with and without the Spirit of the Lord within you. How many knows that we have a comforter? The Bible tells us in Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, for example, David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, David was faced with fear. David was faced with situations in his life, and he realized that there's going to be times when we're going to walk through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, that whatever that is in your life. Well, there are many times that even as a born-again Christian, you're going to have obstacles to overcome. You're going to have battles that you must win through the power of God. But the thing to note here is that we don't have to face it alone. We have a comforter. How many knows that the Bible said that I will go away, but I'm going to send a comforter in my name? How many is thankful this morning that we have a comforter through the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that leads us and guides us and equips us, amen, to face these trials of life and these fears that come upon us? I'm reminded of so many times when fear actually becomes an attack. Seemingly life is kind of going along pretty good and pretty smooth, and things happen in somebody's life, and all of a sudden there is a complete transformation in their attitude and in their spirit, and it's because of a fear, because of something that is agonizing in their life. And as I mentioned earlier, I've had an opportunity to sit and talk with people, and they would mention certain things in their life that they just could not conquer. They just could not get past. And it overwhelmed them, and even so much that it began to affect their health. It began to affect their night's sleep, and it would keep them awake, worrying and panicking over these certain things that happen. And it is a very real fear. I want you to understand that fear is not just something that you know, somebody jumps out and scares us. That's totally different. Fear can be agonizing. And fear has no place in a Christian's life, amen, because we have an antidote. We have an answer for fear. And the Bible tells us right that this morning, amen, as we read in 1 John. He said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." Amen. We have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in us to be able to combat that fear, to be able to, rebuke that fear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that the Bible tells us that God is love, and there is no fear in love. So if that basically what that's saying, there is no fear when God is in our life and when God is in control of our life. Now the fear that I had as a young boy, I remember so many times very vividly that when I was raised in church, and even though before I reached an age of where I came down and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I was aware, amen, that I needed Jesus in my life. I was aware that I needed a transformation. I needed a change, and it would often keep me awake at night, and my fear was where I was going to spend eternity, and rightfully so, because at that particular time, I was unsaved. Now, if I'm talking to people that are unsaved today, there is a very real fear in your life that needs to be there. Amen. There is a fear of judgment if you have not accepted Jesus Christ. There is a fear of judgment if you have not devoted and committed yourself to working and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was not going to get done with a handshake, folks. I can tell you that right now. If I could shake your hand and save you, I'd put the microphone down and I'd shake your hand. But it comes through a born-again experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have any believers in the house to know there is a transformation that takes place? Amen. The old man has passed away and all things become new. The things that become new is that now we don't have that fear. We don't have that dread of judgment because we have been blotted again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there was a very, very real fear in my life until I came down to an altar of repentance before I made things right in my life with the Lord. I asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. I asked Him to come into my life, and He filled me with a glorious spirit, amen, of the Lord. And I thank God for that. But we have that comforter, as was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, an inner strength that can overcome fear. As I spoke earlier about seeing it in the eyes of people, I remember a time in my life when my mother was combating fear. She was born again. She was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But there became an overwhelming sense of fear in her life. So much so that she would go into these long times of crying and nervousness, and many times it would send her to bed with a very terrible headache. And even though we were just young boys, my brother and I at the time, I remember being very, very upset when you see your mother crying uncontrollably in the bed for no reason at all, you know. And my dad was beside himself because he didn't know what to do. He tried to comfort her through words and hugging and telling her everything's all right, and she would just begin to cry, and you know, she would say the same thing over and over. I don't know what's the wrong or what's the matter with me. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. And she kept saying, and I'm so afraid that I'm going to lose my mind. I'm so afraid, and my kids, I'm afraid for them. And she would later say that when the Lord delivered her, she would say that she was afraid for her children to grow up and face the things that are in the world. Can I tell you, amen, that every single one of us is a target for the fear of Satan that he brings upon us. But I'm telling you again and again and again, we have an antidote. We have something to combat that fear, amen. And that's not going to come from a book. That's not going to come, amen, from some type of medicine bottle. That's going to come from a life of understanding that God is in us, and greater is he that is within us than the fear that comes against us. Thank God my granddaddy was a pastor of the church in Rockmart, Georgia, and I remember he and my grandmother came down one evening, and my mother was having one of those episodes, and my brother and I said we were very, very young, and we were kind of, you know, we were kind of upset. We didn't know what to do, and we were sort of upset and scared. So they came in, and I can still see mother laying there in the bed and tears rolling down her face, and my granddaddy came over, and which is her daddy, and the pastor, man, the pastor that baptized me many years ago, my mentor, my granddaddy. He knelt down over there by the bed, and he took the hand of his daughter, and he began to comfort her, and I remember her just saying again, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my mind." And my granddaddy began to speak comforting words to her. But can I tell you, sometimes comforting words is not enough. Just trying to understand what someone's going through is not enough. Amen. If it was, then we would be able to remedy that any time that it reared its ugly face. But he said, "You know what? We're going to pray for you, and we're going to rebuke that spirit of fear." And that has stayed with me. Fear cannot be coddled. Fear cannot be compromised. Fear cannot be spoken away just by comforting words or putting an arm around somebody. Fear has to be rebuked. It has to be rebuked in the name that is above all names. Amen. The name where there is power. The name that tells me that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. The name, amen, that rebukes the power of Satan is the name of Jesus. Amen. And my granddaddy laid his hands upon her. He began to pray in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit of fear. You call it what it is. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I denounce it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray right now, God, that you will let that fear not come back into her life. I saw my mother's hand reach toward the sky. She began to raise up in the bed. She began to speak in a heavenly language. At that moment, at that very instant, fear was denounced in her life because a believer was able to rebuke that fear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory to God. How many knows what I'm talking about this morning? There is a reality in the world today. There is an adversary in the world today. You can't compromise with him. You can't be friends with him. You have to rebuke the adversary in the name that is above all names. She raised her hands. She began to glorify God. She got up out of the bed. From that time forward, I don't recall her ever having another episode of that fear or that panic that overtook her and overwhelmed her. Folks, it is real. It is a very real experience. But thank God that we have a comforter. Thank God that we have someone who understands our needs. In the Bible, there's so many people that were faced with fear. We think about Moses and the fear that he had when he was called into the service of God. God spoke to him through the burning bush, and he was fearful to go back to Egypt. He was fearful to go with Pharaoh. He was fearful that his speech would not be eloquent enough. So many things. And look, listen, folks, when we begin to offer excuses, we can have some legitimate excuses. Amen. But that's all they are. They're just excuses. Basically, what it is the fear of obedience unto God. There was a fear in Moses' life until God said, "Tell them I am sent you." I'm so glad that I serve a God who is an I am God. Amen. Because that means He's there when I need Him. That means He's right here now. That means He's here for you, for whatever situation you're facing, whatever problem. If fear, if anxiety, if panic attacks are in your life this morning, if all of those things compound a problem and you find it hard to get through a week or sometimes even a day, I'm here to tell you today there is relief. Amen. And the relief is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. Amen. He is the healer of the body. And glory to God, He is the one that says, "I am with you through whatever you face." And not only Moses, but I thought about little David as he went out. And, you know, in his spirit, I knew he was bold, but certainly in his flesh, there had to be a little bit of apprehension. There had to be a little bit of concern and fear as he went before the giant Goliath. But you know what? He said, "I'm not coming to you with spear or sword." But how many knows? He said, "I'm coming in the name of the Lord." Hey, amen. Come on. You can't defeat the fear in your own ability. I can't defeat the fear in my own ability, but I'm not coming in my own ability. I'm not coming with sword and spear. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And how many knows there is deliverance in the name of the Lord? We find the comforting words of the prophet Isaiah as God spoke to the children of Israel immediately after He had brought them through tremendous trials and through the desert and through the wilderness and fed them and protected them and destroyed enemies in their way. And God speaks to them. They're getting ready, you know, as they enter into the land of Canaan. And God gives the prophet Isaiah a word to tell Israel. And He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." There is a time, church. There is a time, saint of God, when we need to enter into that fullness of God. We need to be completely and absolutely dependent on Him rather than our own ability to fight these trials and these problems. If one thing that I've learned in my ministry, I've learned that I am no match, amen, for Satan and the battles that he comes against me. But if I've learned anything else, I've learned that is within me. Come on. That is within us. That gift, that wonderful gift, amen, that the Lord has given us to comfort us. Not only will it comfort us, but it will strengthen us and it will equip us to fight every battle that comes against us. Because greater is He that is within us than he that is within against us. Here, the Bible tells us to fear not, be dismayed or distressed. I was very intrigued by the word fear, and I began to look in the Strong's Concordance, and I found that the word fear is mentioned in the entire Bible over some 400 times. So it is a reality, and it has been a reality from the very beginning of Genesis through the book of Revelation. Sometimes fear is used in utmost respect of God. That's a good kind of fear. And many times we serve God with fear and trembling. Understand, we serve Him with the utmost respect and reverence. That's that type of fear. Then there's other types of fear that can be a roadblock in our life and can cause us to not be as complete in the Lord as we need to be. These are the fears that need to be conquered. Folks, you can conquer them through the power of God this morning. I want you to understand what God has just spoken to the children of Israel when He says, "Fear not."
First of all, he says, I will strengthen thee. Amen. Can I get a show of hands this morning who would agree with me that the only strength that we can get is through God? Amen. We can only get stronger through God. Amen. There's certain things that we can do. Pray, fast, read. Amen. Listen to the Word of God. Worship and praise Him. All of these things will encourage us to get stronger and get closer to the Lord. And God said, I will strengthen you. Amen. I'm so glad that He filled me with His Spirit. But He also strengthens me. So many times when I feel that oppression coming on, when I feel that anxiety coming on, when I feel that fear of failing, whatever the situation may be, if I can just get somewhere and meditate with God, if I can just open up the Scriptures and begin to read the Word of God, fall on my knees and begin to get counsel from the Spirit of God, I can find such an overwhelming strength that comes upon me. And I know that strength is not from my ability. I know that strength is coming from God. And I thank God for that. I'm addicted to the strength of God, and I need it daily in my life. There's never a time that I attempt to get into the pulpit that I haven't asked God for strength. Lord, help me to bring forth what you've laid upon my heart. Amen. And he also says, I will help thee. Don't be too proud. Don't feel that you are above help. Every single one of us, amen, in this building today needs help. I find my help in God. I find my strength in God, but I also find, Lord, sometimes I just need your help. Lord, I'm not too proud. Lord, I'm not one who thinks I know it all. Lord, I just can't hardly make it through the day without you. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not so proud that I can't call upon him, but I've never found him unattentive. I've never found him unconcerned. In fact, it's the opposite. Every time I go to the Lord, amen, with my humbleness and my meekness and say, God, I need you to help me. Just help me through this day. Help me through this situation. Amen. And God has never failed me. And I don't believe he's going to start failing me now. Not only will he strengthen us, but he will help us, and he is a help, amen, that you and I need to become very dependent on. And then he also says, I will uphold thee. Can I get real sincere with you this morning? Even in our walk with God, there's times when our knees get feeble. There's times when our hands are not lifted up in praise, but they hang down. There's times when the adversary begins to tell us how bad we have it, or how tired you are, or how frustrating it is, or how these things pile up around you. Many times we don't understand. We get the same syndrome that David had when he wrote many, many things. He says, why do the heathen, why are they blessed? And why are the unbelievers blessed? And God was quickly to point out, you know, their reward is down here. Many, many times as our knees become feeble, we begin to look at the things that we're experiencing, the problems and the trials that onset us. And how many knows, amen, that God doesn't promise us that we won't have trials. He doesn't promise us that we won't walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but he does promise you won't walk alone. Hallelujah. He does promise that I will be with you. Amen. And many, many times he is upholding us. So I thank him for his strength, and I thank him for his help, and I really thank him for those times he reaches down and lifts me up. When the weight of the world is so heavy, amen, that we bend beneath the weight. We bend beneath the responsibility, the ministry that God has called you to do, whatever that walk of life. So many times it's just maybe a witnessing or testifying, and we see the situations in the world, and we're moved with things that are happening in the world, and it does overwhelm us so many times when we see all the evilness and the perverseness that's in the land. And so many times Satan is really, really quick to point all of that out. Many, many times we said, Lord, I just need you to lift me up. I just need you to uphold me. And again, God has always been that strength. He's always been that tower of safety that I can go and enter into. And he'll always lift me up and hold me up before the trials, the tribulations, the persecutions that we face on a daily basis. And I thank God for that. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Moses, don't be afraid to go down to Pharaoh, because I'm going to be with you. David, don't be afraid to go out and fight that giant. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to guide that stone. So many people think David was an expert marksman. I don't know when an expert marksman could have hit that bullseye as good as the Lord took that rock and directed it right exactly where it needed to go. Amen. And if God sustained Moses, and if God sustained David and Joseph and the prophets and all of those before us, and He is no respecter of persons, amen, God will sustain you. God will help you. God will be with you. But here's the thing. We must learn to be complete in Him. Amen. Again, reading the book of 1 John, or the scripture in 1 John, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. This is very, very important. God is love. And that explains down there when it says, there is no fear in love. If God and love are synonymous, then if we have God and we have the love of God in our life, then there is no fear. That don't mean won't be frightened. There won't be times that fear will face us, but it won't be that compelling, agonizing fear that absolutely destroys us. Man, we can rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't believe we exercise that enough. I don't believe we use that power that God has given us enough. I believe so many times we just say, well, whatever, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it also says God will deliver them out of them all. Amen. God is still delivering today. Don't ever forget that. God is still healing. God is still setting folks free. Can I tell you, as I prepare to close, you do not have to live in a state of bondage. You do not have to live in a state of fear and agony and torment. Amen. I'm telling you today, there is an antidote to your sleepless nights. Glory to God. There is a remedy. Amen. God, for the fear that comes upon you when you face certain situations in your life. There is something, amen, that will hold you up when you think that the world has turned its back on you. When you think family members don't even love you anymore. And when sometimes you even ask if God still loves you. I can answer that right now. God will always love you. He loves you right now. He doesn't want you to be in torment. He doesn't want you to be in fear. He doesn't want you to be bound. You can be delivered today. You can be delivered right now through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you believers stand this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we feel your overwhelming presence,